Hello and welcome to the Bingeables Podcast, a podcast for geeky TV junkies where we watch TV shows you just have to binge on. We're your hosts, Chinlin.
And Isaac.
And not Steve this time.
Did I say Steve?
You said Steve last time.
I don't know what you're talking about. My name's Isaac.
He's yanking my chain, if that's a phrase young people know these days. I don't know. But anyways, if this is your first time tuning in to our podcast, we thank you and we hope you enjoy this episode we're about to dive into.
If you're a returning listener, please remember to leave us a review on your favorite podcatcher.
So we're going to dive right in with our Whatcha Bingin' segment.
I was about to say, don't skip Whatcha Bingin'. All right, yeah.
Okay, so the fifth and final season of Kim's Convenience is out on Netflix. And I don't think Netflix owns this. I think it's a Canadian production company that makes the show, because the show is based in Canada. So, because I finished watching the fourth season not too long ago, and I was like, wait, is that it? Because I heard of the show being canceled, but luckily they were able to do a fifth season to wrap up everything. And I would like to cover Kim's Convenience, but I know you've only caught a few episodes here and there, so I don't know if you actually enjoy it.
I watched the whole first season.
Oh, you did? I forget. It's been a while, but yeah. What have you been binging, Isaac? Any audiobooks you want to share with us?
Well, audiobooks, I've been re-listening to the Wraith's Haunt series, but the latest book for the series Noob Town is out, and I'll probably be listening to that soon once I finish my re-listen to the Wraith's Haunt.
Who's the series by? Wraith's Haunt?
The Wraith's Haunt. One second. I will tell you. Hugo Huesca.
Is this like a fantasy series?
Yeah, so it's an alternate take on these literary RPGs. In this case, a guy and his friends were playing an RPG and some stuff happens, and then he gets sent to the world that the RPG takes place in, and it turns out that it's a real place that's just on a different plane from Earth, and that there's a group of people using players from Earth to win a war, and he's been recruited by the other side now. And so it's very interesting. Then Noob Town is a little different. It's a guy dies, and then his soul is put into like another plane of existence that sort of adheres to RPG video game rules. And it's actually, I feel, it's a lot funnier and more interesting. But the thing that I've really been binging a lot recently is Critical Role.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I mean, so much Critical Role. There's like, the episodes are like 3 to 5 hours long, and I'm on episode like 80. Yeah, I think close to episode 80 of campaign 2. I started with campaign 2. You can kind of watch them independently. I feel like the production values are a lot better on campaign 2. So if you've never picked up Critical Role and you are interested in watching voice actors play Dungeons and Dragons, which is hilarious, I must say. It's too funny sometimes. Then you can just start with campaign 2. You don't have to start with campaign 1. And I feel like once you have a feel for it, you can go back and watch campaign 1. It turns out that they've recently just wrapped campaign 2, and they'll be starting campaign 3 at some point in the future.
Wait, so campaign 2 started in 2019 and they just finished it?
I think it started in 2017 or 2018. I think it started at in January 2018.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
It takes 3 years to finish a campaign?
Yeah. That's
How long this game is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And remember, I think they were up to like 130 episodes or something of campaign 2 before it finished. And multiply that by 3 hours, that's like, you know, at least 390 hours of, you know, game time. It's crazy.
That is crazy. Jeez. Okay. But yes, that is also something else you've been binging. So let's dive right into Invincible. This is a superhero animated series that premiered on Amazon Prime Video on March 26, 2021. So I actually haven't, I've been taking a break from Twitter, which is a source, which is the platform where I was getting many of my entertainment news sources. So I didn't hear about anything about this show until you told me about it, which, yeah, I thought this was, it's such a good show, but.
And I only found out about it because of all the memes on Reddit. And I was like, what is, like, this looks like a reasonably good, like, just from the stills or whatever. I'm like, looks like somebody spent some real time on this. Is this a cartoon that I missed because I'm too old? Or, like, what happened? Like, because there are cartoons that, like, started airing, you know, in, like, 2005 and later that, you know, I wouldn't have necessarily caught if they were Saturday morning cartoons. So I was like, is this just something I've missed or what's going on? And
turns out it's very recent.
Very recent.
And it is, it's very super adult.
Yeah. very adult.
This is not for children. At least unsupervised.
I mean, you raise your kids however you want, but yeah, it's not necessarily appropriate for kids under like 13.
Yeah, sure. I was gonna say, like, I can see teenagers watching this show and being into it.
Yeah,
but like in general, like it's very gory, much like Castlevania was. Like,
yeah,
very violent. But anyways, the show is produced by Amazon Studios, Image Comics, and Skybound Entertainment.
And this is our spoiler-free preview where we've finished watching the show and we will give you an overview and explain why we think geeks should watch it and not just say it's good, because it is good, but we'll tell you why it's good.
So the official synopsis from IMDb says, Invincible is an adult animated series based on the Skybound/Image comic about a teenager whose father is the most powerful superhero on the planet.
And that is a good, very spoiler free synopsis. A lot of times the IMDb synopsis are like, let me just give you like all the mystery, like, and solve it for you.
Yeah, like IMDb is my source for pretty much everything entertainment related because I know it's reliable, but in terms of synopses, like, it's either a hit or miss, but I still include them anyways.
Knock it off, Todd!
I think Amber's been pretty clear about how she feels.
I'm nothing like my dad.
I want to be just like you.
I fought to keep this planet safe. Your power's got to be due any day now, son.
Morning!
I'm scared, Dad. What if I can't do this?
Follow me. Slow down. Land. I said land. Stop! Get up.
I'm actually getting used to this a little.
That's not good.
You need to be better. After everything he's done, how can I live up to all that?
You need to decide what kind of hero you want to be.
That was you in the blue and the yellow.
Why don't you meet the team after school?
May we count on you in the future?
Yeah, I think so.
And bored of this.
Son, we need to talk. What I'm about to tell you will change everything.
I wasn't ready before. Now I am. You being a superhero is the coolest thing that's ever happened to me. Now take me flying or I'm gonna tell everyone you're invincible.
Sorry, not sorry.
Going into this show, if you haven't watched it, I'll talk a little bit about how I ended up approaching the show, because I didn't know what to expect, right? Like, I saw it look like a reasonably, like, well-drawn show, and it was new, and so I was like, oh, okay, let me just start the first episode. And I would say that my expectation was that it was going to be sort of like Harley Quinn on
HBO Max,
yeah, where it's a animated series and it's going to be kind of funny. It's going to, you know, sort of be tongue in cheek about superhero-dom and stuff.
Yeah, like cliches.
Yeah, and so, you know, in the opening scene, you're introduced to what is essentially their stand-in for the Justice League. And as the episode progresses, I got the feeling that I was like, oh, this isn't going to be tongue-in-cheek. This is, you know, kind of serious take on superhero-dom. This is cool. And then it gets better. Like we said, we're not going to spoil anything in this episode. There's not a lot to spoil in the first episode, so we can talk a little bit about that. Just the ending of the first episode is unexpected, and that really kicks off the mystery that you as a viewer are sort of trying to solve throughout the rest of this first season.
So why did we choose this show to talk about?
Well, one, because it was just fucking awesome.
Yes, we already said that. You told me, because you watched the show first, you said it's kind of like The Boys, and I agree. It is kind of like The Boys, but I would say it's very half boys, half teenage drama.
Yeah.
Not like CW-ish drama, but, you know, the titular character is a teenager.
And
so it comes with all of that teenage stuff that you would think of, you know, the part-time job, the arguing with parents,
right.
The coming-of-age stories that you see.
And the stuff about The Boys, it's not that all, like, in The Boys where sort of all superheroes are bad. That's not what's going on here. What the parallels with The Boys are that there are parallels with DC superheroes and that...
The gore is pretty much on par.
Yeah, and that there's a lot of violent gore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, except the only difference is this is obviously animated, so...
Right. I don't know. I feel like you get more realistic gore out of the animation. I don't know if you noticed, but like in a lot of the scenes, like when someone's skull gets crushed or whatever, you see the eyes like that, like and how they connect to the brain from the eye socket. It's it's intense.
Yeah, like that the skull crushing thing. I can't. I will always close my eyes when I see that on any show, animated or CGI, but yeah.
But one of the reasons I suggested this to you was that I picked it up in the middle of a day on a Friday, and I watched the whole thing, like, that day.
Yeah, like before you went to bed Friday night.
Yeah, all eight episodes. I was in. I was like,
oh,
yeah.
And something to remember. I feel like pretty much most animated shows are just 30 minutes long. This is actually 45 to 50 minutes.
Yeah, these are 45-minute long episodes.
They run almost like an hour with typical hour length shows.
Yeah, it's like they were kind of built to be hour long shows if they aired on. Like broadcast television, which of course they won't because they're super violent and the swearing.
I don't think there was that much swearing.
Yeah, and you know, you can bleep it, but
mm-hmm.
still.
Mm-hmm. And one other thing I wanted to mention is another reason why we chose this show is because I think, at least for me, because this is more personal to me, I would like us to make more, maybe a little bit more of an effort to include like more geek shows that to recommend in the future that feature Asian American cast members or creators. Just, you know, in light of the hate crimes against the AAPI community and the fact that there's just not that many entertainment that feature Asian American cast members or just Asian members in general. But that's not to say, like, we're going to only include those in the future.
I will say that I knew that would be a selling point for you when I recommended the show.
I do like Sandra Oh. I haven't seen her in Grey's Anatomy. I'm kind of jumping the gun here, but Sandra Oh is one of the main voice actors in this show, and she is voicing Debbie, who is Mark, the main character, Mark Grayson, aka Invincible. Debbie is Mark's mother, so I really like her. I haven't watched her in anything really, but I've seen her in like clips of things, and so I know she's a really good actress.
Yeah, I think the first thing I mentioned to you though was Steven Yeun was the main character, and you were like, "Oh,
yeah, because okay. Minari, he's the main character in that movie Minari that just came out and won a bunch of Oscars and other awards." And I admit, I still need to watch that movie. It's about a Korean family who moves to the middle, what's that called? The part of America that's like Nebraska and...
The heartland?
No, there's a word for it. The middle
the
part
bread
of
basket,
the middle part of the U.S. where you see a lot of farms and...
The Midwest?
Midwest, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they. It's about a Korean family who moves to the Midwest.
I was like, Nebraska's not the Midwest, but okay.
I don't know what...
Okay.
We're getting off topic, but he's in Minari. He's been in The Walking Dead, which I still haven't seen either. But I know he's been in a lot of other stuff, and he's a good actor. And I admit I need to watch more media that feature Asian or Asian American cast members. Or creators.
Okay.
But I know I jumped the gun on the cast a bit. Let's talk about the co-creators. Robert Kirkman, Ryan Ottley, and Corey Walker. So Robert Kirkman, he also wrote and produced The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead.
Okay.
Have you watched any of those shows?
No. When The Walking Dead came out, I felt like media had like sort of oversaturated zombie stuff, and I wasn't really interested in any more zombie stuff.
Kind of like how vampires and media was oversaturated after Twilight.
Sure. I mean, I didn't... It's probably true, but I didn't ever really pay attention to Twilight or vampires. But I remember like... In 2008, like zombies had started becoming insanely popular, and then The Walking Dead came along and just like super saturated.
So let me tell you the reason why I haven't watched The Walking Dead. So I don't remember exactly when the show first premiered, but I was probably in high school or college. Maybe college. I don't know. But when I was in college living in the dorm, I didn't have access to cable or anything because this was on AMC.
Okay.
Yeah. And so like pretty much most cable shows, I didn't watch because I didn't have access to cable at the time. And I'm pretty sure this was before Netflix really took off as a streaming powerhouse. And also I just was not into zombies in general. It's not really my thing. And now like... I think either the show is wrapping up or the final season came out. I don't know for sure, but it's been on long enough where I feel like it's too late for me to catch up unless the whole show is finished and then I can catch up.
The other thing that keeps me from starting is, like, I've seen plenty of memes about, like, how the show has evolved and how sort of ridiculous it's gotten.
Oh, yeah, that too.
I'm like, yeah, I don't, like, I feel like it sort of ended up going the same way as Game of Thrones. Like, they started to deviate from the source material and then things just got out of hand. And, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, those are the co-creators. Not much else is known about Ryan Ottley and Corey Walker, at least based on their IMDb profiles. So moving on to the cast, we just mentioned Steven Yeun and Sandra Oh. So, one more thing I will say about Sandra Oh. She's been in Killing Eve recently, and that has been on for 3 seasons, which I also still need to watch. And she also voiced in She-Ra and the Princesses of Power, which we covered on the podcast last fall with our guest at the time, M, from Verbal Diorama. So, Isaac, you didn't watch this, but I liked this show a lot. So
I watched some of it. I just didn't come on this show for it.
Yeah, I know. You didn't. You weren't on the episode to talk about it with us, but I liked it a lot. So next we have J.K. Simmons as Nolan Grayson / Omni-Man.
I mean, you'll all recognize him from the Spider-Man movies.
The original Spider-Man, right? Because I never watched Andrew Garfield or...
You know, I think he was so good that they cast him in both of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so J.K. Simmons, he's so popular. Like, he's pretty much your Hollywood actor guy. He has been in Whiplash, Juno, and it's right here. Spider-Man, the Tobey Maguire one in 2002, he was in that for sure.
Yeah, as J. Jonah Jameson. But I think they brought him again. I could be wrong, but I really think he was in...
Oh, and recently he guest starred in The Great North, which is a new series on Fox from the creators of Bob's Burgers. So yeah, he's done a lot of stuff that I feel like geeks would recognize. And then next we have Jillian Jacobs, who voices as Atom Eve. Did I say that?
Yeah, but that's actually kind of the point of the name Adam Eve.
Yeah,
is that
I know. It sounds like Adam. Yeah.
But yes, that is correct. Everyone will recognize her from the show Community, where she played Britta.
Was she in anything else?
I mean, probably.
I mean, she's been in a lot of stuff, too.
I mean, Community's been off the air for a while, so yes. Let's see.
Oh, wow. We have the same birthday. October 19th. That's so cool.
She's Lieutenant Barbara Brinson in Lower Decks.
I guess she was maybe in one episode in that. I don't remember that character. But yeah, Jillian Jacobs is in this show. So if you liked her in Community, you'll like her here as well. Adam Eve is one of the teen superheroes that we meet. Next, we have Jason Mantzoukas as Rexplode, another teen superhero. And y'all, I swear to God, Jason Mantzoukas is in everything. He was in Solar Opposites. He's been in The Good Place. Like, he's been in at least 2 shows that we have covered on this podcast. Like,
he obviously got a start in The League, but he's also on Big Mouth. He plays almost the same character in every one, though. He plays Jason Mantzoukas. He's also on Parks and Rec for a few episodes.
Parks and Rec? Oh my God, how can I forget that?
Yeah.
So he's been in 3 shows that we've already covered.
He's everywhere.
Yeah, he is everywhere. Oh, I love the guy. What else has he been in? Let's see. Oh, Housebroken. It's an animated show, also on Fox now. It literally just came out. It's about a group of pets, neighborhood pets, who come together for weekly therapy sessions, which I think is adorable. Literally just came out, so like one episode is out, maybe the second. But he plays a dog named Lyle, I think, in that one. Hilarious.
That's what it says, yeah. It says Lyle.
Next, we have Kevin Michael Richardson as the Mahler twins. This is not a spoiler, but we meet the Mahler twins in the first episode.
In episode one. Yeah. Which in the sort of the very first scene, and
the twins are a villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're in the opening scene of the show, they are attacking the White House.
So, Kevin Michael Richardson, he has been in Lilo and Stitch, Young Justice, Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen. And apparently he was in the 1995 version of the live action Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat! That's such a great song. He played Goro.
And in recent years, he was in F is for Family, the animated Netflix series. So yeah, he's done a lot. I haven't seen him in any of this, but he was in a CW family show back in the day that I am blanking out on the name of. But, you know, moving on. Last but not least, at least for the main cast, Zachary Quinto as Robot.
Which is such a strange name, Robot. You know, because
they didn't want to get creative. Cause it's just like, it's Robot.
I guess. I mean,
it's a generic name.
The first time you're introduced to him, though, you know, you kind of feel like they're mocking him. Like, it's like, yeah, good one, Robot. I have eyes too. I'm like, huh. Wonder what his real name is. Then it turns out it's actually a Robot.
Yeah, and like, I feel like he's what's he the stand-in for?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think
I'm not familiar enough with the DC comic universe to be able to pull out the parallels for like all the characters.
Him being part of the cast, Robot the character, I mean, kind of reminded me of Data from Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah,
because he's super smart. He can calculate things really fast, and you know, super strength, super robotic strength.
Because he's a robot.
Mm-hmm. And then we will wrap up with spoiler-free fun facts. So Amazon Prime Video has already announced, as of April 29th, that the show is renewed for two more seasons. So we know for sure there'll be two more seasons.
I mean, duh. The first one was so good. And oddly enough, you know, this doesn't normally happen, but the fans of the comic are also fans of the show.
And you got this from Reddit?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, there are some good shows that don't get renewed. Like, some shows they make specifically just to be limited series.
Well, sure, sure.
Yeah.
But they didn't cover all of the material from the comics in this one season, so it makes a lot of sense that they were like, oh yeah, we'll keep doing this because this is awesome.
Well, I feel like there are a good amount of shows where the studio only renews for one season at a time. So the fact that they renewed for two is tells you how successful the first season has been.
And tells you how much they're willing to spend on it, too. Because, you know, Critical Role did a Kickstarter to animate a lot of the stories from their first campaign. And they were like, yeah, it's like $750,000 an episode to do good animation or something.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So when they raised $11 million, they're like, yep, okay, well, we will do all 10 episodes. Didn't expect this. We thought we'd get like one, but cool. So yeah, if you're talking, you know, $750,000 to $1 million for an episode, it was $8 million for this one season, and to do an, you know, more is going to cost more, which is, you know, why I don't blame companies when they sort of use animation tricks to cheap out on the animation, like on Castlevania sometimes. But I will point it out when it's noticeable.
You pointed it out first on Blood of Zeus.
Yeah, because I feel like I think that one was probably like created before it got picked up or something. And so they did a lot of like, okay, so we're going to do this cheap so that they could get their story out.
All right. Moving on. Invincible was originally optioned by Universal Pictures in 2017 to become a feature film starring Seth Rogen.
I'm glad it went this way.
Me too. Me too. Like you, like anyone who listens to our podcast knows that, you know, this is a TV podcast. Like me personally, I prefer the long form storytelling, which is what you get in television shows and animated shows. But so, I actually, because Seth Rogen's done a lot as an actor and a producer. So
I don't think he would have like. So this would have been 3 years ago. I think he would have been
4 years ago.
4 years ago. He still would have been too old to play a teenager coming into his powers.
I don't know if he would have played the main character.
Oh, okay. You think he but like then he would have needed to be somebody else if it's going to be starring him, right? Not just have Seth Rogen attached.
Okay, well, I don't know. I can if this went, if this had gone live action, I guess I could kind of see him be Rexplode.
Okay.
Because Rexplode appears in every episode.
Okay.
And even
not
though
every episode, he doesn't appear in episode one, I don't think.
Okay, maybe not the first one, but anyways.
Most of the episodes, yeah.
My point is, I can see him playing the character of Rexplode if this was live action.
Yeah.
He's got the comedic chops for it.
Yeah.
Several actors from The Walking Dead appear as guest stars, guest voice actors, and Invincible, which, you know, makes sense because the co-creator is also, you know, the creator of The Walking Dead. So, for example, I think Lauren Conrad, who in the show The Walking Dead plays Steven Yeun's partner, Lauren Conrad, she voices War Woman in Invincible.
Yeah, I'll let you guess, listeners who haven't watched the show, who War Woman is a proxy for in the DC universe.
It's very on the nose for this one. And then last but not least, the Invincible comic was actually published 6 months before The Walking Dead comics premiered. So, I don't know. I guess I kind of wonder, like, why it took so long to get this up and running. The Walking Dead is definitely, it was definitely successful enough to run for this many seasons.
Well, so it has to do with timing, right? So
yeah.
At the time, the reason why The Walking Dead gets picked up first is because zombies are really popular, right? And so studios are not really willing to take risks. And so they're like, oh, zombies are popular. Here's the zombie IP. Let's take that and let's make a show. And we're willing to risk it, but until The Boys comes out, no one's willing to risk money on
superhero TV shows.
On superhero, like different takes on superheroes, right?
Oh, that's true. Yeah. All right. Well, that wraps up our spoiler-free preview of Invincible. Now, go watch it.
For real, it's good. Thanks for listening to the Bingeables podcast.
Leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please consider giving us your support on Patreon for as little as $1 a month. Just visit us on patreon.com/bingeablespod. That's patreon.com/BINGE ABLESPOD.
You can connect with us on Twitter at BingeablesPod, or you can email us at BingeablesPod@gmail.com.
Until next time. And the music you're listening to is Shaving Mirror by Kevin MacLeod.